I'm so thankful for everyone that is getting baptized. I'm thankful for those of you who came today to celebrate and observe your loved one getting baptized today. And we welcome you. Can we just take a moment, just welcome everyone who is here today and everyone watching online with us. So grateful you're a part of the service. And I just, before I get to preach, I just want you to know that I never believe that God allows you to come in these kind of spaces for just a singular purpose, at least your singular purpose. I want you to know that God has a purpose for you being here today as well. And I believe he's going to demonstrate his love and his grace and his power in your life as well. And maybe you don't believe that for yourself, but we got plenty of people in here who are believing for you today. Amen. So we welcome you. And if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10. As we look towards Holy Week, I couldn't help but open this text and minister from this text. And Reverend Jerry, I didn't want to minister from this text. I had a different text in mind I wanted to go to, but Rev Dev preached so good a couple weeks ago about Jericho, and some of you are still, you know, wishing he would be up here today. I get that. And so I couldn't help but just simply, all right, you know what? I got to go along these lines because I feel the Lord wanting me to prepare us for not just Good Friday and not just Resurrection Sunday, but what God is going to do in your life between now and those dates. And so what I want to do here today is I want to start in Mark 10, verse 46. And look at how it starts. It says, then they came to Jericho. Everyone say Jericho. Here we are again, Rev Dev, right back at the city we've been preaching about for 4 weeks now. Right back at Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. So they came to Jericho, and now they're leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. I want you to see something real quick in just the context of this text. Notice that Jesus came to Jericho and he left Jericho in the same verse. In the same verse. This verse is a warning to us. Every single Sunday, we can prepare our clothes and prepare our hair, and we can prepare our kids, and we can prepare the music, and we can prepare the sanctuary. But if we do not prepare our hearts for his presence, he will come and he will go, and we will get absolutely nothing. And I believe the enemy wants you today to feel like all hope is lost if you miss Jesus going into Jericho. But I just want to tell you today, if you have just enough faith, maybe you missed him on the way in, but if you have enough faith, you can catch him on the way back out. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Can somebody just take a moment and say, thank you, Lord, for second chances. I miss you on the way in, but I'm not going to miss you on the way out. Yeah. Keep reading, verse 47. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by or nearby, he began to shout, began to cry out in the King James, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped, or literally he stood still, like something like pulled on him. He stood still and he commanded, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Rabboni, the blind man said, let me see again. Verse 52, go your way, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received. I want to make sure that we understand the Greek here. He recovered. Woo! I know some of you have been out of church so long, you don't feel like you can ever get back what God one time had for you. But I came to tell you today, if he can make the blind see again, he can help you recover again everything you've lost along the way. And immediately he received or recovered his sight, and he followed Jesus along the road. Just before you're seated, would you just find the best looking person nearby you, and would you just tell them, you can go your own way, but God's way is better. Now find that other person that you didn't turn to at first. Oh, Lord. And just tell them, you can go your own way, but God's way is better. Amen. If you know that to be true today, put your hands together. You can be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. I've always got to be careful when we say those kind of things, because if somebody doesn't turn to you right away, what are you trying to tell me? I'm ugly? What do you say? Right, so that's why it's best to just look in a circle. Come on, I'm going to teach you church stuff right here. Just look at everybody. I tell all you all. But I want to show you just a couple things. And it's interesting to me to note that in the whole of Scripture, the Bible actually places Jesus outside of this city called Jericho on two different occasions. We've been preaching the first occasion to you for a month now. The first time was back in Joshua chapter 5, when Joshua runs into the commander of the Lord's armies. And Joshua says, well, whose side are you on? Our side or their side? And Jesus makes it clear, neither. Okay. But as the commander, as the chief of God's army, I am here. So you pick whose side you're on, Joshua. All through, Joshua takes off his shoes because he's on holy ground. He submits his will to Christ's way. What we see is in the very next chapter, Joshua 6, because Jesus shows up at Jericho, the people obey, and they, we've already ministered, walk around the walls of Jericho 6 times for 6 days, and on the 7th time, they walk around 7 times. But on that 7th time around, they shout. And as they shout, the walls begin to fall. That's the first time we see Jesus at Jericho. The second time we see Jesus at Jericho is right here. And notice, there's only one man shouting, and nothing's falling. But as this man is shouting, Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God, is being exalted. He's being magnified. If you will, he's being lifted up. Jesus said this one time. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. I will draw people to myself. Listen to me. If there are things that need to fall in your life, then what I want to encourage you to do today is don't sit there silent. Lift up your voice in praise to the name that is above every other name. And let's declare that sickness is going to fall, and cancer is going to fall, and pain is going to fall, and problems are going to fall. We must learn to call upon the name that is above every other name. This one man shouted, Jesus, Son of David. I'll talk about it in just a moment. What I want to focus on here is the etymology of this word, or the meaning, and how this word shifted and changed over time. Jericho began as it was known as the city of the moon, or the city of fragrance. That's how it began. So its original meaning was something that was beautiful, that in and of itself had an aroma. Okay, so the city of the moon, the city of fragrance. But eventually, it became known as the accursed place. The changing of the word, the etymology of that word, because after Joshua captured Jericho in Joshua chapter 6, he cursed it. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a healthy habit of staying away from cursed places. Anybody else? Okay. I don't tend to want to go around those places I hear that are cursed. But here's what's crazy. In Mark chapter 10, the Bible tells us that Jesus not only went to, he went through the accursed place. Aren't you thankful that Jesus has a habit of going to places that other people tend to avoid? Aren't you thankful to know that Jesus shows up in your life when other people were done with you and walked away from you and said you were cursed and no good and undeserving? Is anybody just thankful here for just a moment that Jesus showed up in your accursed place and he changed your destiny? I was once blind, but now I see. Amen. So because blind Bartimaeus was blind, and this kind of became a revelation to me. That means because he was blind, whatever he believed about Jesus was because he heard about it from someone else. Ooh. My question is, what are your non-Christian family and friends believing about Jesus because of what they hear you say about Jesus? Paul wrote it this way in Romans 10. He said, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone, not just me, but you, tells them, preaches to them. Listen to me. If God has been good to you, you don't have to tell me. I already know. You need to find somebody who doesn't know about the goodness of God and let them know. Listen, this is what God has done. I want to encourage you to get the spirit of HP on you. And when God starts moving in this place, don't sit there. Pull out your cell phone and start recording what God is doing and then post it all over your social media so people can know, look what the Lord is doing in my life. Look what the Lord is doing in my church. Woo, thank you, HP. Instead of that self-promotion, let's get some Christ promotion going on in your social media. Whew, I love you, but I don't care what you ate. And I don't care to know for the millionth time how smart your kids are. Great. Can I hear you say how good God has been? And do you have a testimony that the world needs to hear? Because how can they hear unless someone tells them? There are four lessons that I'm going to quickly extrapolate from this text. And these lessons that we learn from the story about Bartimaeus teach us really this. It teaches us why. Why exactly do we miss out? Someone say miss out. Why do we miss out on everything God has for us? Why do we miss out? If you're taking notes, I'll give you four things quickly. Number one, the first reason I believe we miss out on what God has for us is because we can be physically blind, but we can still have spiritual 20/20 vision. Part of the reason we miss out is because we're not walking by faith. We're walking by sight. I don't see it yet. It's not happening yet. If I can't see it, then how can I really believe it? Now listen to me. Look at the story. Bart couldn't see. I'm just going to call him Bart if that's okay. Okay. Because Bartimaeus gets a little long. So my boy Bart could not see. But the Bible says when he heard. Okay. He couldn't see, but he could hear. He couldn't see, but he could think. He couldn't see, but he could still jump. He couldn't see, but he still had a mouth and he could shout. Let me just break this down. For those of you who get upset, listen, the reason that you don't have what they have, or let me say it like this, just because you don't have what they have doesn't mean you can't have what they have. They have sight. I don't. That doesn't mean you can't have what they have. So many people of marrying age, they're like, well, they have a person. Yeah, but you have peace. Good Lord. They come to me and say, well, they've got a big house. That's true, but you have a happy home. Yeah. Well, they have eyes. True, but you don't need eyes to get a miracle from God. What you need is a little something called faith. And what Satan is trying to get you to do is just get focused on what you don't have so you forget to use what you do have. But if you can still use your mind, shout yes. If you can still use your hands, shout yes. If you can still use your words, shout yes. If you can still use your testimony, shout yes. If you still got a little bit of faith, let the devil know, I'm not focused on what I don't have. I'm going to use what I've still got. Hi, Paula. Research actually shows us that if you lose one of your five senses, the other senses can actually become stronger just to compensate. What's my point? Rather than you always whining about what is broken in your life, why don't you just start to build up what still works? I lost my job, but I didn't lose my joy. I've lost some money, but I haven't lost my mind. I've lost some health, but I've never lost my healer. I have lost some people, and I've lost some possessions, but I have not lost my sound of praise and thanksgiving to God. Can I just find about 50 people who knows what it is to lose some things, but you haven't yet lost your praise, your gratitude, your worship unto God? Listen to me. When they break your heart, they do not break your ability to still love. And even though the system is broken, I remind you, your God never will be. So I can be physically blind, but I can have spiritual 20/20 vision. I can see clearly. And that's why you won't miss out on your miracle. The second thing is this. Why do we miss out, though? Why do we miss out? We miss out because we forget this, that God has a greater future that's calling us. What we have to learn to do is throw off the past. Oh, Lord, this is going to get me in a lot of trouble. So someone say, make it quick, preacher. Make it quick. Make it quick. Oh, don't say that. It's Baptism Sunday. Good Lord. Jesus. I joke because on a typical Sunday, I would take my time. But I just want to say this. We are in a season right now where God is reaching back. He's not just reaching into the future. God is reaching back into the past. And he is healing some of that childhood trauma that you have tucked away and hidden away and suppressed and try to act like it's not there. And it's, listen to me, we know it's there because it's affecting you now, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later. We're seeing it manifest in the way you act, in the way you speak, in the way you talk, how you are high one moment and low the next. We are seeing what the enemy has done, what he meant for evil in your past. He's still trying to use it against you today. And I serve a God that will not let the enemy have a greater hold on your past than he does. And he will not let the enemy use your past to dictate your future. So if you believe with me today that we serve a God that has a greater future, but what he's trying to do is help us throw off the past so we can move forward. Because look at what happened. I don't know if we can show them verse 50 or not again, Tiana, but in verse 50, the Bible tells us, Miss Autumn, before he was even healed, he jumped up and he threw off his cloak. Why his cloak? What significance does his cloak carry? One hypothesis is this. In ancient times, beggars wore a certain type of cloak. That cloak identified them, really, by their lifestyle. This cloak identifies me as a beggar. You don't have to guess what I am. This cloak identifies me for who I am. So that cloak would then represent all the restrictions and the limitations and the labels on his life. So what does he do? The first thing he does before he gets his miracle is he throws off everything that was meant to weigh him down. He threw off all the limitations, all the restrictions, all the labels, and he said, it's not going to keep me down any longer. Another hypothesis is this, that the cloak was actually one of those homeless hand-me-downs, meaning this was his entire economic situation. He was part of a family of beggars. They didn't have anything. So notice what he does. When he throws it off, what he's saying is, I believe that not only are my eyes about to change, I believe my whole economy is about to change. Can I just find just a handful of people that know that God doesn't just want to fix the small things. He wants to fix everything in your life. And he'll start with the main thing so he can heal everything. Here's what I believe. I believe the reason some people never get their healing is because they're too in love with their history. Ooh, I was waiting for Derek to tell me to say it again. Thank you, Kareem. So I will. The reason some of us never get our healing is because we are so in love or obsessed with or attached to or entangled to our history. What you've been doing is you've been carrying around those hurts for far too long. You've been bound by that past for far too long. You've allowed people to label you and limit you for far too long. You've been wearing those failures like a cloak for far too long. And I'm just here to tell you that God is doing the calling, but you need to start doing the throwing and say, it's time. I get this stuff off of me. Why do you think the writer of Hebrews said it like this in Hebrews 12:1? Let us throw off
cast off every weight and sin that so easily besets us, and let us run this race that is set before us by looking unto Jesus. Can I find a handful of people just for a moment that can look at the devil and tell him, today is the day I'm dropping off my beggar's cloak. Today is the day I'm dropping and throwing away my beggar's coin cup. Today is the day I'm no longer going to be in bondage. It's my last day of bondage. It's my last day of pain. It's my last day of tears. It's my last day to be wrapped up in what was. Because God has an awesome future for me, a greater future for me. All I've got to do is just throw off the past. We miss out on everything God has because we hold on to something he never even gave us. Third thing, someone say he's more than halfway done. Third thing is this, why do we miss out? I need you to know that God is ready to release his will. But we have to break that spirit of withholding. Withholding. Ooh, Lord Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, that withholding. Tommy, I'm reminded that when God spoke to the cosmos, let there be light, it couldn't withhold it. It had to release it. Rev, when God spoke to the air, it had to release what it was holding. And there came the birds and the clouds and the stars and the sky. When God spoke to the water, it had to release what it was holding. And there came all the fish and that swim in the oceans. When God spoke to the ground, it had to release what it was holding. There came the plants and the trees and life. We, someone say me, we are the only thing that can withhold what God deserves. And that's why you withhold your praise and you withhold your worship and you withhold your shout and you withhold your leap and you withhold your tithe and you withhold your service, because we are the only thing that when God speaks to, we have the will to withhold. And I came to tell you, if you want God to release his perfect will in your life, you've got to begin to break that spirit of withholding from God. Verse 48, Tiana, can we give him verse 48? Look what happens. Verse 48 tells us that the crowd told my buddy Bart, shut up. Oh, I got kids in the room, sorry. Be quiet. The crowd is the one who saw him and told him, shut that down. They stereotyped him. All they saw was a poor, blind beggar. And this is what gets me. Look what it says. Many of the people yelled at him. Many? This implies that some of the people who told him to shut up were part of the 12, part of the 72. Jesus' own disciples were trying to tell this man, stop, calm it down, that's enough. How many of us have been working hard to move forward and we realize there's always going to be some folk, even some church folk, that are trying just as hard to keep us silent and to keep us shut up and to keep us shut down. But the truth of the matter is this. If Bartimaeus had listened to public opinion, he would still be blind. But Bartimaeus said, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to him. Jesus, Son of David. What you've got to decide in 2024 is I can't let your opinion of me keep me from everything God has prepared for me. Listen, you can call me blind right now, but once Jesus gets done doing what he's doing, you're going to call me healed. You can call me a beggar right now, but once Jesus gets done doing what he's going to do in my life, you will call me blessed. You can call me crazy. You can call me stupid. You can call me wrong. You can tell me to shut up, but once Jesus gets done, you're going to look at somebody who's no longer a loser. You're going to look at somebody who's more than a conqueror through him who loves me. Don't let them keep you silent. Open up your mouth and give God the praise. Give God the faith. Give God the worship. Give it to them. No matter what they say. Because I recognize once God is done, they all going to be like, wow.
Miss Autumn, I can't help but every time I read this text, I can't help but notice it jumps out to me every single time. Clearly, my buddy Bart held something back the first time. How do I know? Because it says he only shouted, I command that spirit of withholding. Those of you who only go so far. It wasn't your first shout, Bart, that stopped Jesus. It was that second. I was holding a little bit back, but now I'm not holding anything back. And that second shout got Jesus' attention, and it stopped our Savior. Like a pull, almost like a rubber band, just pulling him back. And he had to simply say, I have to stop. Because you broke the spirit of withholding, I've now got to release your miracle in your life. Can I tell you that for many of us as American Christians, you know what our biggest problem is? Our biggest problem is if it didn't work the first time. I tithed once. It didn't work. How do you know? I prayed once. Nothing happened. I joined the dream team one day. Never again. Wait, what? Can I just tell you this? Maybe you don't fully realize that you serve a good God, and he doesn't want to withhold any good thing from you. So if you tried once and it didn't work, I feel like somebody's going to break a spirit called withholding in this room today. I can sense it in this room. I fished all night and I've caught nothing. But at your word, I'll try again. Can I just find just a couple of people just for a moment? Let's just get obnoxious and let's speak to that spirit that's sitting on the person next to you and tell it, you've withheld their blessing long enough. You've withheld their breakthrough long enough. You've withheld their healing long enough. And since you can't do it for yourself, I'm going to do it for you, baby. I'm going to shout just a little bit louder. I'm going to get a little bit more faith. I'm going to tell this mountain, be thou removed so you can have what God has promised you. We got to break that spirit of withholding. Because the God I serve, the psalmist said like this, he said, for the Lord is a sun and a shield, Psalms 84. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he, someone say withhold. Ooh. I know you tried it once and it didn't work. But God wants you to try again and again, because he promises you, if you will just keep trying, I'll keep working, and I will not withhold any good thing from those who walk upright. Listen to me. If we can just break that spirit of withholding, then whatever is being withheld is going to be released over our life, over our family, over our money, over our community. Just for 10 seconds, can I get some people to help me pray for revival? Come on, because revival has been withheld in Aurora for way too long. Can I get somebody to believe, God, you're releasing your spirit over this city in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Woo. All right, last observation. Every time I read this, I see that Bartimaeus says, the first time he says, Jesus, son of David. Now, for whatever reason, Jesus doesn't stop the first time. He says, Jesus, son of David. Maybe he didn't hear him. Or maybe just like the walls of Jericho, he wanted to know, do you have enough faith to keep persisting until you see the promise fulfilled? Here's what's so crazy. The very next time he yells, he drops the prefix, Savior. And he picks up the messianic title, Son of David. And Jesus is like, ooh, someone just called me in my name. You know, people always calling you out your name. Jesus says, someone just called me Inman. Not the name I was given at birth, the title I was given when I was eternally with the Father. Son of David, my messianic title. And what happens here is that I believe blind Bartimaeus was saying this in essence. He was saying, I may be blind, but I can clearly see who you are. You're just not here to help me. You're here to heal me. You're just not here to make my life a little better. You're here to lead me into the way of everlasting. I recognize who you are. I can't see you, but I can see you. Somebody needs to get a little faith in your spirit today. You know what I'm talking about. There are some things I can't see with my physical eye, but I already see it by faith. I already know it's there by faith. And if you need Jesus, literally, if you need Jesus today to stop where you are, then here's my fourth point, and I'm done. The God you see is the God you get. That's why every stinking Sunday, you and I can come together and we can worship the same God but get different results. And the whole reason is because the God you see is the God you get. And you just want a God that can help you with your begging. But I serve a God that can heal my blindness. I don't just want you to meet my immediate need. I need you, God, to be the overseer, the fulfiller, the promise keeper, the one who sees through and takes care of every single one of my needs. I'm not just talking about heal my begging. I'm talking about heal my blindness. Ooh. The reason you come like a beggar is because you come thinking you're a slave and you don't recognize that God wants to call you a son and a daughter. He doesn't just want to drop some coins in your wallet and let you leave with a little blessing. He wants to heal the blindness so you can rise up and do what Bartimaeus did next. The Bible tells us he began to follow Jesus because now I can see where he's going. And though I knew who he was, I can see where he's leading me. Bible tells us very simply, the God we see is the God we get. What do you mean, Pastor? Quickly, and I'm done. Matthew 13. The Bible tells us that Jesus could only do a few miracles in his hometown because the God you see is the God you get. They couldn't believe. We know this guy. We know who his dad was. Hint, hint. They actually say we know his mama, implying that we don't know who his real father is. I do. He's not just the son of David. He's the only begotten son of God. Can you just lift your hands right now with me for just a few moments and just say, Jesus, we need you to stop right here, right where we are. Right where we stand today, we need you. Hear me in your spirit. Hear me in your spirit. If you need Jesus to stop and stand still where you are today, then here's what you're going to do. You need to know that it is your faith that will get his focus. I'll say it again. It's your faith that will get Jesus focus. If you need him to stop walking and you need him to start working, then use your faith today. Use your faith today. Use that thing you've got called faith to get Jesus focus today. I'm amazed at this. Father, we use our faith because it's only by faith that we can please you. Without faith, it's impossible to please our God. So we come to you in faith, and we're believing for our miracle. We come to you today in faith, and we're believing for the salvation of our family. We come to you today in faith, and we're believing for a financial breakthrough. We come to you in faith today, believing that every demonic attack that is coming against our life is going to be stopped in the name of the Son of God, the name of Jesus. We come to you in faith. It's my faith that gets his focus. I come to you in faith, and I need to tell somebody here today, if you started crying out, then keep crying out. And don't you worry about those critics, because the same people that told Bartimaeus to shut up are the same people Jesus told, go and tell him to cheer up. Go. God's going to use the same people that have been against you to be the ones to say, look what God is going to do for you.
He will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. I need somebody to get some faith today. Get up on your feet. Stand up in faith and declare in these last days, I don't have to respond to my critics. Jesus is going to do it for me. Jesus is going to shut them up for me. Jesus is going to show his power, his grace, his truth, his miracle working ability in my life. All over this room, all over this room right now, I need you to know, if you started crying out, then don't stop crying out till the master stops, silences your critics, and give you what you believe for. He's calling you today. He's calling you today. I know the critics have told you to shut up, but he's calling you today. Cheer up. I've got something better for you. I've got something greater for you. Can you just shake somebody next to you today and tell them, cheer up. Cheer up. The master's calling. Cheer up. The master's calling. The master's calling. The master is calling. And I believe, HP, you better record me for this. I believe that God is moving in this church and is going to keep moving in this church because we're doing more than raising our voices. We are raising our expectation. We are raising our preparation. We are raising our faith. We are raising our hope. We are raising up the word of God. And you better hear me. Listen to me. I love you. But this ain't the church for you if you just want to come and sit in attendance. But this is a church for you if you want to come and get Jesus' attention. I need about 100 people to take a minute right now and shout, Jesus, don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, my family needs you. Jesus, my mind needs you. Jesus, don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. Jesus. And it's your praise. It's your faith. You're going to get Jesus' attention today. Amen. Amen. I can feel something stirring in this room. So let me just take a moment right now. Bring away the drop away. Let me just take a moment right now. Because I can sense the miracles are already here. We're just breaking the thing that's withholding it over your life. Now, if you don't have any faith, you're going to miss this. But if you have faith just the size of a mustard seed, then we're going to tell that mountain to move today. And everything God has prepared for you, I believe, is going to be released today. Listen to me. I understand doubt might rise up right now, but you tell that doubt what the critics told Bartimaeus. Shut up. Shut up. Because Pastor Bethel told us just a few moments ago, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that's working in us right now, that power is called faith. I said that power is called faith. You are believing God for the impossible. If you need Jesus to stop and give you a miracle, throw up your hands real high today. And maybe this isn't for you. Maybe this is for someone you love. Throw them up high. Don't half-mask this stuff. I need a real... See, the withholding... There you go. You're breaking that spirit that's trying to tell you, don't go any further than this, because what if it doesn't happen? I'll tell you why it won't happen, because you're still withholding. But what if it does happen, because you broke that spirit of withholding over your life today? In the name above all names, we're reaching up in faith today, because God, we need a miracle. And it's a miracle that man cannot produce. It's a miracle a pastor cannot bring forth. It's a miracle that the enemy has tried to keep from me. It's a miracle that my own doubt has made me believe is impossible. But I came to remind you, what is impossible for man is not impossible for God. For with God, all things are possible to those who believe. So right now, in faith, say, Jesus, I receive my miracle. Jesus,
Son of David, I receive my healing. Jesus, Son of David, I receive my blessing. Jesus, Son of David, I receive what was being withheld. It's released over my life in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, put a praise on it today. I said put a praise on it today. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. The miracle is happening now. It's happening now. It's happening now. All right. Just before I pivot, if you need a physical healing today, raise up your hand real high. I need a physical healing. In fact, throw your right hand up. I need a physical healing. Throw your right hand up. If you see somebody near you with their right hand raised, would you reach over and just touch their shoulder right now? Just reach over and touch their shoulder. Here's why I want you to know this is going to work right now. Here's how I know. Only one man had faith for his miracle in the story of blind Bartimaeus. You've got now a group of people standing around you who are going to believe with you. And because nothing is too hard for God, today is your day of healing. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak healing. I speak healing. I release healing. I release it today. It is yours. It has been withheld long enough, but it is yours today. From this moment forward, you're going to walk in divine health. Whatever's been wrong, you're going to feel a fire, a warmth begin to touch that part of your body right now. And God is beginning to heal that area, that infirmity, that disease. It's been there long enough, and today is your day of healing. Now, if you've got your hand raised and you are feeling God do something, I want you to wave that arm around. I can feel something happening. Wave that arm around. There you go. Wave it around. I can feel God. I can feel it moving. Come on. We're not done yet, because I want to see everybody with their hands raised believing that God is healing right now. God is healing. He's releasing it, Nadia. That healing is yours. It's yours today. By the stripes upon his back, we are healed. We are healed. This is not something that will happen. This is something that is happening because it was purchased 2,000 years ago. Healing is yours in the name of Jesus. If you receive that healing, you can feel it happening. Come on and shout, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one more time. Just so you don't think I'm making things up, who's already feeling something different? I can feel physically something is happening in my physical body. Come on, raise that hand. Testify. Testify the goodness of God. Testify the power of God. Testify of the grace of God here today. You don't have to tell me. You're going to find somebody today who needs Jesus. You tell them, look what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. Whew. Tiana, give me verse 52 and I'm done. Verse 52. Right after his sight was healed, Jesus tells him, go your way. Go your way. And Bart's like, you know what? Now that I can really see, I can see that your way. Your way is a better way. No, your way is the best way. No. Your way is the only way to the Father. I'm not gonna go my way. So I want to say this to those who are getting ready to get baptized and to those at some point who might need to get baptized again. Some people today are going to receive their sight. Some of you, you just need to recover what was stolen. And that's the grace of God that is here today. He's going to make sure you recover everything the enemy stole from you. Whew. My God. So to every one of us today who are making a public declaration, because really all that baptism simply is, baptism is just saying that my eyes have been opened to see that Jesus is the only way. So baptism is my outward demonstration of the inward transformation Christ has done in my life. If you've been changed from the inside out, can you put your hands together and praise God today as Pastor Olga comes?